Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough with me, your radio talk show host, Dr. Beverly L. Swanson. A talk show of real people with real stories, real testimonies that will inspire you and me to moving forward into our breakthrough. So glad to have you today. Now we're going to move forward to inspiration, empowerment, and breakthrough with Dr. Beverly L. Swanson.
Good morning, everyone, and just as the intro said, welcome to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. And as you know, this is a radio broadcast about real people sharing real stories of great breakthroughs and great victories. Why? Because they're here and they're talking to encourage you. That's why this show is so important. And today, I'm very excited because today, this morning, we have a wonderful guest. And her name is Cindy McGill. Now, Cindy is so important because she is going to talk to you about dreams. This is an important topic in this hour because as we are being positioned, ladies and gentlemen, as we are being positioned for the wonderful glory and the promises of God this year, many of us are having many visions and many dreams. So this is definitely an important guest. So I want to tell you a little bit about her. Cindy McGill is the founder of Hope for the Harvest Ministries. As an ordained minister with the International Church of the Fourscore Gospel, she holds an international license and currently co-pastors at the Salt Lake City Fourscore Church with her husband, Tim. They have been involved in pastoring and evangelism and church planting since 1978, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Cindy travels internationally, helping churches raise up evangelism teams and teaching on godly character and ministering and prophecy, dream interpretation, and the word of knowledge. Now, her passion is leading teams of ordinary people. Now, you know Dr. Beverly loves that. Ordinary people, ladies and gentlemen, who simply love Jesus into the streets, and hospitals, pubs, and anywhere the Lord directs. Now, using dream interpretation and prophetic evangelism, the door has been opened to share the gospel to multitudes of people who might not otherwise have heard the message. So I am so excited and quite privileged we are, ladies and gentlemen, to have Cindy in the studio with us today. Cindy, are you there?
I'm here.
Yay!
I am here and glad to be here.
We're glad to have you, and you are loud and clear. So thank you so much for joining us this morning, and you can tell I am excited because, not only is this a time, as you already know, that people are experiencing multitudes of dreams and visions. You know, my mother is a dreamer, and I'm a dreamer. So I tell you, I could just hug and squeeze you right now that you had time to avail to to this audience as well as myself.
Right. Well, it's a tremendous time that we're living in right now because dreams are coming more quickly than we ever thought they would. And not only are the dreams coming, but the messages contained in the dreams are just very powerful and pertinent to today's dreamer and what's going on. And, this was prophesied in Joel 2:28 that God said, it says in the last days that God was going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. and that people were going to have dreams and have visions and prophecy. And so we're right in line with those days, what's happening, and it's just been a real interesting journey for us to see what people are dreaming all over the world. So it's a tremendous
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine how you must feel as a woman, as a wife, and a servant of the Lord, a simple person, like you said, ordinarily people as we are. We're just here to serve the Lord. We just love Him. So I can't imagine how it must feel to you right now, being this is your time, Cindy. This is your season. This is where your purpose has been ignited. It has been awakened and it is alive for so many people. I can't imagine how it feels to you when you're able to bring clarity to someone who is puzzled about a dream that continues to recur over and over again.
Right. Yeah, they really do come alive. And you know, I think for a number of years, we've given our, you know, best shot at being able to interpret. We've asked God to teach us how to interpret dreams. And, you know, I had people on the onset of us learning how to do this express a concern, thinking, well, this is New Age. And my response has always been, no, this is Genesis. You know, it's like God, dreams are God's idea. And so, you know, we have a responsibility. If God's pouring out dreams on people, all flesh, that means people that do and don't know Him, then we as Christians have a responsibility to hear from God what the dream could be telling them that's causing them to seek an answer. And with that, it opens doors of opportunity for us to share the fact that God is talking to people and they don't know it or they haven't been aware of it. And so it's wonderful to watch the light go on and to watch people really get just ignited with joy in knowing that they weren't crazy, you know, or that they've actually received a message that was going to give them direction or guidance or give them a warning or reveal something to them about their current day situations.
Yes, yes. And I really like what you just said there. You said, as Christians, we have a responsibility to find the meaning of those dreams. If we don't, then we're ignoring God speaking.
Right.
And at
well,
this point, Cindy, I think at this point, Cindy, you mentioned Genesis, not New Age, but Genesis. At this point, we have to believe the Bible or not. And the Bible says, as you said, that dreams were coming. And the Lord, our Father, communicates with us in every possible means. And dreams are a time when we're still, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we're not arguing. When we can get a message while we're sleeping or at rest. Yeah. And, you know, I think that if we don't take the time to learn how to interpret dreams, especially if it's God's plan, if it's God's idea to pour out dreams on all flesh, then the only other option people have that are not connected to God is to go to a psychic, because they've got to have some understanding. And we saw that even in scripture with Nebuchadnezzar and with Pharaoh. You know, they both had dreams that were very perplexing. They were difficult. They didn't understand them, but yet they were branded on their spirit, and they knew that they had to get an answer for these dreams that they'd had. And in both cases, they went out and sought people who they thought could interpret dreams, and no one could give them the answer. In Pharaoh's case, no one could give him the answer except Joseph, who was connected to God. And in Nebuchadnezzar's case, no one except Daniel. And in that one, Nebuchadnezzar wanted him not only to interpret the dream, but tell him what the dream was. So, you know, we're living in days like this. Many times when we go out on the streets, and that's primarily where a lot of my, you know, ministry of dream interpretation takes place, is out in the marketplace. It's out where people are not attending church, you know, and they're looking for answers. They've had something that has been perplexing, that has been troubling, that has been almost a gnawing impression on them that they can't get any relief. They want to know what it is. And so we get to hear from God, who in many, many cases has given them. He is the author of the dream they're telling us. And then we just listen to him, and he tells us what it means and why he gave it to them. And we just explain that to them, and they just come undone. It is so much fun.
Oh, my. Oh, my. When, Cindy, can you tell our audience how will they know? Because someone did ask me that. They said, well, can you ask her, how do we know when it is actually a dream, a message from God for us, and not just a regular dream that has really no meaning and they're just asleep and their minds are active?
Yeah, I get that a lot. And basically, I think a God-given dream is something that has a huge impact on you. You won't forget it. It's something that you'll remember verbatim. Even in 5 years, you'll remember it just the way you had it. And so it won't go away. It's something that you're going to have the answer to. And also, you might have it more than once. If you've had a dream more than one time, it's like a knock on the door. It's something to get your attention. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to this, you know. And in my book, I go through and help explain why we have those kinds of dreams and what we can do about them. And we've also been asked, well, how do you know that the interpretation is correct? How do you know when you're interpreting a dream or you're giving an answer for a perplexing dream, how do you know it's right? And my answer to that is the dreamer knows. They know if it's right. It hits them, and they get it. And the spirit of revelation from the Holy Spirit unlocks the message, and everyone has that understanding of this is it. This is the right interpretation of the dream. And so it's been an interesting journey because, you know, we are trying to follow as best we can the Spirit of the Lord so that we can understand and give direction to people who need guidance, who need somewhere to plug in. Then we can identify the source of who gave them the message, who gave you the dream. And when they get an idea that God is talking to them, they want more. They want to know more. And a good thing to know too is that they stop going to psychics when they figure out that they can hear from God about their future and their lives, the one who put them together. And they stop going to the new age, you know. So and they get connected with the source of life, with the one who put them together, with the author of life.
That is so powerful, especially now that so many people, Cindy, are having dreams, that they're able to connect with a dream interpreter that has that gift, that God has entrusted that interpreter with that gift to give them the revelation of the dream so that we can stop the running of God's people into Satan's courts, into the psychics, the palm readers, who are flourishing now more than ever. And a part of that is because of the need. People need to know what it is that they're dreaming, why it continues to occur. So again, you know, I'm so excited that this is a time that the Lord is pushing you and your husband, Tim, forward to stand in a gap so that people have a place and someone to come to so that they can be trained, not just one-on-one, but to be able to be invited into church conferences. And we talked about this before we came on air, in church conferences, in home churches, so that we're expanding our knowledge, our wisdom, and the understanding, like we should be, and studying the word, we need to study everything. You know, another question someone asked me, Cindy, if you want to elaborate on that before I go on, let me know.
Oh, no, I was just thinking that, you know, dreams are a bridge builder into the lives of people who don't trust. And when you get on the streets and you see that how many people have been let down or they've been, you know, disappointed by friendships or people that they thought they could trust. And so trust bridges in people are all blown up. They don't have any way to really believe you or to want to know, you know, they don't trust like they did. So when you interpret a dream for them, you're actually building a bridge into their heart. So not only are you giving them an answer of a dream they might have had, but you're also giving them, you can give them at that time a word of knowledge because their walls are down and they mm-hmm. want to know. And the reason you were talking about psychics and different ones flourishing at this time, it's because people are directionless. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's going on. They aren't connected to the one who holds the future. And so our job is to be able to give them an understanding of, you know, God is the one who's got this. He's the one who understands and knows what you're made for and why you're here and what the plan is for your life. And so, you know, we are developing teams to take into different arenas and different places who can be activated in this so that we can begin to turn people to Jesus instead of the new age.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful that would be. You're absolutely right. There's so much emptiness. You can feel it when you walk down the street. You can feel the emptiness when people walk by. You can see the blank stares that they have nothing. They don't know who to grasp, who to believe, who to trust. You're absolutely right. And you bridge builder. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, it really does. It's a real, opportunity to connect with people in a way that they weren't expecting. And, you know, I think, too, because I'm an evangelist and I'm always looking for ways to help people connect with God. And you know, God is sometimes, even Jesus is an enemy to people's mindsets or thoughts of what, you know, they think he is because of the way he's been communicated or just their perception. And so mm-hmm. this really brings Jesus a different way. We're meeting a need. We're helping them to realize that, you know, God is kind, and it's his kindness that leads people to repentance. And so if we can have an opportunity to meet a need in their life, which would be interpreting a dream or giving them a prophetic word, then they're more open to hear what we have to say beyond just the dream or the prophetic word. They want to know, especially when you say, well, you know, the one who put you together, the creator is the one who gave you this message. Now they want to know about him because it was right and it made sense. And so, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing people. You know, no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw them. So we are praying before we go out that God will create a spirit draw, you know, when we're interpreting a dream so that they want to know more about God and have a different understanding of who he really is compared to what they thought he was, you know?
Yes. Oh, you're such a beautiful spirit, Cindy. a gentleman asked me to ask you this question, and he said, how do you know the difference between a vision and a dream?
It's a good question, and you know, it's a little difficult to answer simply because if you look at Matthew 2, Joseph, the father of Jesus, earthly father of Jesus, was given three dreams to keep Jesus alive, but in each dream, he was visited by the angel. So it was very clear. It had no interpretation. You didn't have to look at symbols. One thing means another. So I think that if it's a dream, if it's a vision, if it's a night vision, it would be something is very clear. It doesn't need an interpretation. The message is extremely clear. It has absolutely no, you know, you're seeing it just as it is. If it's a dream or if it's a puzzle or an enigma, you know, or a riddle, it'll have symbolism, which then needs to be interpreted. One thing would mean another. And that's what you saw with Pharaoh, with the cows and the wheat. And, you know, the wheat, it was symbolism representing, you know, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought. And so those things needed to be communicated because it was symbolism. An angel didn't show up to Pharaoh and say, you're going to have 7 years to gather grain and field, you know, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. That was not a communicated message. So God used Joseph to unpack it, so to speak, for him. And as a result, he was put in places of favor and being able to actually execute plans in order to survive everyone, you know, during that time. So that's the best way to describe it. Visions are pretty clear. I think you just see it for what it is. And dreams require an interpretation. That's the best way I think I can help you understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I am being flooded with dreams these days, back to back. And, you know, the Lord even have, you know, give me the spirit of sleep. And, you know, in the middle of the day where my eyes have to shut, and, you know, because he has more to give me. And a lot of those dreams, Cindy, I'm in it as if I'm in it observing it. Can you explain to the audience what that means? When you're in it, you can. It's like you're observing inside the dream.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're being shown something that doesn't necessarily demand your participation. God is showing you something. And so, you know, that's the difference. And all the dreams are like a puzzle. So if you look at them, you want to have all the factors in place, and then you have to decide, what's the focus of the dream? Are you the focus of the dream? If you're the focus of the dream, then you're actually participating in the dream. If you're observing in the dream, you're not the focus of the dream. And once you can identify and understand what the focus of the dream is, you can nail the interpretation. So, you know, you just have to be able to realize, what am I being shown? Why am I being shown this now? And what is, you know, is anything, is it my part? Is there something that I need to do in order to, you know, is there any action on my part? Or am I being shown something? Well, then why am I being shown something? Is it because I'm to pray for someone? Or am I being shown just for my own understanding because God wants to let me see something? And I think one of the things, honestly, I just want to speak into this a second. One of the things that happens a lot that I don't encourage is when you have a dream about someone and you see something going on in their life, most of the time people say, well, I've got to tell them. No, you don't need to tell them. It could be that God is showing you something so you can pray, because sometimes it's a timing issue. And if you tell the person what you're dreaming, or something that you've been shown, it could be premature, and it could cause more trouble for the person that you've had the dream about. And so there's a real understanding of wisdom on when to share a dream about someone that you've had. And, you know, the other thing is, dreams are layered. So if God's showing you something about a person, the best thing you can do is go to prayer for them and see what God wants you to do about it, if anything. And then, you know, let him, prayer changes things. So oftentimes if God's showing you something about a person, you can pray, and that will completely change their circumstance. It could be for nothing more than an intercession for them.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's interesting that you changed directions on that, because I know you felt it. I felt someone on the line had a wow moment. And what Cindy is saying is so important. That prayer at that time may save someone's life. That prayer
right.
at that time, if the Lord is using you, at that time, because an intervention is needed now. So how wonderful that he can entrust you with that dream, because that means he trusts that you will pray. You may not understand, but you will pray. And that's how
right.
the Lord is speaking and using us these days in every way possible to reach people. Isn't it wonderful that he loves us so much, Cindy?
Yeah, I know. It really is. And another thing I have in the book is a thing called Flipping the Dream. And, you know, we did that because we were getting so many dreams that were difficult for us to, you know, when someone would tell us their dream, it revealed certain things about them. And so we begin to think that, you know, what does God say about a negative dream? What does he say about something like that? And we thought, whatever Satan means for evil, God turns it for good.
Yes.
And so we did a thing called Flipping the Dream, where we actually flip it to say, well, here's what I think is your future. Here's a message for you that will be encouragement. Because if you're going to interpret for someone and it's a negative type of a situation, what you want to do is the essence of a prophecy from God is edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so we have a responsibility not to give them a negative report. And I know that, you know, some of the older prophets, you know, in the Old Testament were judgment, doom, gloom, all that kind of stuff. Well, anyone can
right.
say that. You know, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out, that people are in desperate situations and there's a whole lot of bad things and wrong things going on with people. But God always looks on the heart. And he looks at the one he made. And he really did so love the world that he gave. I mean, he didn't
yes.
send Jesus in the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. But Jesus came that people might have life. And so that's really our approach. Is in dream interpretation and communicating the character of God or the character of what we understand Jesus and God the Father to be to us, who's all love. He doesn't have love. He is love. Then we have a responsibility to try and bring them a message of hope, good news, bring them an answer that's going to bring them into a place of wanting to be connected with the one who loves them so much, doesn't want them to go to hell, doesn't want them, you know, to be destroyed by anything, you know, whether it's their own thought, whether it's, you know, from religion or anything else. And so, you know, we try and flip the dream to try and give them an answer of hope.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Lord has his servants of the day, his messengers of the day. That's why he has his Cindy McGills and his David Herzog and his Bob Jones or his Beverly Swanson. He wants us to understand that the bonds of religiosity and religion is not who he is. He literally loved us so much, even those of us that weren't even born yet, that he literally sacrificed to death his own son because it was the only way that we could be saved. I have two sons and two daughters. I could not see myself doing that. Could any of you, as much as you love people that you see passing by, could you do that? Could you give up your own child to a brutal, vicious death so that they can be saved? So this is the God that loves us so much that that's what he did. So we're not talking about condemning, judging. He wants us to know the magnitude of his love. And that's why we do what we do today. You know, it's impressed upon me, ladies and gentlemen, to reiterate something that Cindy said. And she said that dreams can be a puzzle, and they come in layers. So what that means is you have to journal them. You have to write them down. Right, Cindy?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a timing involved in when they might play out. And sometimes when we're interpreting, even we know that for the moment that we're hearing that dream, here's an answer for a dreamer. But we do know that time will change it or even take it deeper or even present a different picture or another layer of the picture to the dreamer. So, yes, it is. In fact, in the back of my book, I actually have a journal that I created for the dreamer so that you can not only record your dream, but you can build a timeline as to when you had the dream, especially if it's a repetitive dream or reoccurring. Here's when I had the dream. Here's when I had it again. And then pencil in or put in there what life has been lived between the two times when you had the dream. Because timing almost is as important as the message.
So, now, you know, Cindy has mentioned several tools that she has available, several books that she's written, and I promise you, we're going to make sure that she has an opportunity to present exactly where and how to get them, that we're not going to just have the broadcast and leave you high and dry, that there are ways that you can communicate with her and get what she has put together, her and husband, to enhance your gift and be prepared as the time that we're the season that we're in, he shows us more and more. Oh, the other thing, Cindy, children dream too, and parents need to pay attention to the dreams that their children are telling them, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've heard, you know, how many parents, when their children tell them a dream, it's actually help the parent to know how to parent their child, because God is giving almost like the parent a window into the child and what they're designed to do or what their bent is or what their calling could be even. So, yes, it's real important to listen to the kids' dreams. And I really enjoy interpreting kids' dreams because they're a lot more pure. They don't have a lot of the baggage. They don't have any of the, the doctrine or things like that to have to overcome. They're just very simple in their understanding. And so oftentimes they get incredible dreams about future things, about, things to come. And I love that God is using their dreams in order to help them not only define their gifting, but who they are as a person. And it's really, really powerful. They're probably some of my favorite. I love to get around the kids and hear what they're dreaming. And they like
yeah.
it, too. So it creates a real, avenue of relationship for us together.
Yes. Yes. You know, there's something that you said earlier that I'm hoping that you'll go into a little bit. You said you help them identify the source of who gave them the dream. What do you mean by that, Cindy?
Well, there's three things that talk to us. God talks to us, the devil talks to us, and we talk to ourselves, our own spirit. We all, and we all kind of sound the same. And unless we understand or know where the dream is coming from, we can skew the message. And so, people would say to me, well, is every dream from God? And my answer is no, every dream is not from God, but God made every dreamer. And so,
yes.
we are looking to find out, regardless of whether or not God gave the dream to a person, it does tell us something about them as a person. And so, we have to identify the source or the understanding or know where did the dream come from? Who's giving us this dream? Say, for instance, night terrors. People have those a lot. Well, we know where those come from.
You know,
they're not from God. God doesn't scare us in our dreams, Well, in Abimelech's case, he did.
Yes, he certainly did.
All right, he did. You're a dead man, is what he said. But in the case of most dreamers, when people are seeking or they're looking for answers to life, God is really kind about the way he communicates. And oftentimes we'll hear a dream about someone and they're worried about, you know, they've had a dream about, oh my goodness, I had a dream that my boyfriend's cheating on me or my husband's cheating on me or something like that. And that's just their world. I call it a self-revealing dream, you know. They're just concerned about stuff. They're worried somebody's, you know, cheating on them, and it reveals rejection issues and different things in their life. But the dream isn't from God. It's just from them. And so, but that gives me a window into their lives so that then I can speak to them according to and build them up and encourage them as people that, you know, they're not always going to be betrayed. They're not always going to be cheated on. There's not, you know, that's really not a pathway for them. There can be a completely different understanding of life for them when they connect with the one who made them. And so we've had many, many people connect to God and get saved on the street by interpreting a self-revealing dream.
Yes.
And they're ready, you know, to get born again. So, you know, it's been a real journey, but it's a fun one. It's a real fun one. And I've hardly ever had anybody turn me down. You know, when I ask them and I tell them, we're dream interpreters, would you like us to interpret a dream? And they're like, oh my goodness, yes, not only yes, but I'm going to call my friends and I'm going to get them down here. And then pretty soon we have lines of people who want to have their dreams interpreted, and we don't have anyone walking away from us, getting angry, throwing up walls, you know, any of that. We have people just hungry to find out about themselves. And, so it's a really great, I call it my best lure, you know.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, Cindy said that there are three things that talk to us. She said God, and we know God enlightens us, and the devil. And, you know, the devil will try to terrorize and inhibit you. And then us. And the dreams that come from us are the things that's consuming our hearts. So see why it's so important to be able to interpret it, have your dreams interpreted, to be able to get the revelation, and revelation of the Holy Spirit, what the dream is about. See why it's so important. Because the bottom line is a message coming from somewhere. But like she said, who is the message coming from? You know, I think, Cindy, you and Tim would be an excellent source for drug rehab programs and these type places, because they're so tormented with night terrors and these type of dreams. And just to be able to have someone come in and speak to their group to help them understand that they can escape these dreams, that they're, you know, this is a tormenting blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So that they don't have to be afraid all the time. Be able to identify the source that they're coming from and the why, so that they can be conquered. I know I'm not trying to give you another job, but what a wonderful outlet, though, your services.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, our job would be to train up others to do what we do and to help them understand it, because God kind of had us forerunning this a little bit. And my thing is team multiplication. We need to multiply people. We need to help people understand it, because we cannot be everywhere. But what we can do is we can help train people to be everywhere. And our whole desire is for people to be equipped to take their land, to be in their field, to be where God has planted them, and to give them tools or equipping or, you know, to enable them to be able to have successful times of ministry into the hearts of really broken people with great success, you know, and be able to bring them into a place where they're desiring to receive life. And we, you know, we're on the beginning of a huge harvest time here, and things are getting ready to accelerate. They already are in the spirit. And so, you know, we're looking for people to say, I'm going to sign up. I want to do this. You know, we've been sitting in church for 30 years, and now it's time for us to be available to present good news in a way people can receive it. And yes. the 70s methods of evangelism isn't going to work in today's market. People just
That's
aren't
right.
privy to that. They don't even get it. So we have to go with what God's doing. And, you know, Jesus told us all along, he said, if you follow me, Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But we have to follow him. And so
yes.
we have to decide and realize that he's got ways of reaching into today's, you know, people that are we're in a post-Christ era. People don't think the Bible's valid. They don't think God is real. There's all kinds of thought and understanding. And so God has given us the ability to see what he sees. You know, the other thing, too, is that we train our teams to look on the heart and bypass the obvious. Because anybody can look at someone and go, oh, my goodness, you're this or you're that, and we try and correct them. Well, that's not our job. Our job is to love them. And our job is to see what God sees. And God always looks on the heart, always. And he sees the one he made. And he sees the detours and the roadblocks and the tricks and stuff that has been assigned to the person to try and derail them from the life they were meant to live. And our job is to encourage them or to give them the understanding that they do have a path. They are valued, you know, that they do have Jeremiah 29:11, you know, he knows his thoughts toward us and his plans, not for calamity, but to give you a future and a hope. And so with dream interpretation, we always go in that direction as well. And we want people to be able to realize that even though they may not believe in God, God believes in them. So, you know, it's been like I said, it's been a real learning curve for us. We also have to realize that people are not quite ready sometimes to get saved, but they're definitely ready to hear truth.
Yes,
so,
they are.
So, you know, we're not there to try and force feed someone into a decision of salvation. We're there to present Jesus in the way he really is and how much he loves them, even through a dream interpretation. And then we can build a relationship or connection with them. And in a city or in a town, that's easy to do. You know, you make yourself available over and over and over again, and pretty soon the trust bridges are formed. And then people will come and want what you have to say.
I really am wanting each and everyone listening to the broadcast to remember these words, building teams, building teams, building teams. Cindy and Tim are building teams. And, you know, that's simply discipleship. And, you know, Dr. Beverly is all about discipleship. That's what Jesus did. He made disciples, and they went out. He built teams. So I am hoping that you will expand your conferences, expand your workshops, expand your building that you're doing in a community, expand and equip your disciple building by calling in someone like Tim and Cindy and allow them to teach the team that you put together. Allow them to share their gifts so that you can expand in these ministries and have another tool in your satchel where you can reach a soul. And if nothing else, provide some comfort and relief for something that they're dreaming over and over again. And, you know, this is a new concept, but it is not a new concept. It's something that's been going on in the Word of God since the first book of Genesis. And she's right. It is time that we use everything that the Lord has given us to reach his people that need him and need to know of his love so much in this hour. No, I want to read something to you. Cindy, was that you? Did you want to say something before I share something with them?
No. I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. I want to share this with them. You wrote this. The Lord had given you this. And she said, there is a very clear picture emerging. Where things have been cloudy, clarity is coming. the pathways that have been designed for us are going to be very, very clear, so that when we align ourselves with our new purpose for this new season, it will be seemingly risk-free. Now, this is the beginning of the hour of power, and God is opening our eyes to see things that have been hidden from us until now. The wait has been long. Oh, yes, it has. The wait has been long. But God has been designing things and getting things together so that when we step into them, we are the people we need to be for the job we are given to do. My God, that is so powerful. You want to elaborate on that? That's powerful. That's a powerful message from the Lord for his people.
Well, it's almost like, you know, we sometimes joke and call him Jehovah Sneaky, because we don't always see what he's doing behind the curtain, you know. But he has been putting things in place, and he's been not only aligning, he's not only been getting things ready for us, but he's been aligning us for the places and the people that we're going to reach and things that he's got for us to do. Because job descriptions are changing right now. There's a huge shift going on in the church and in the body, and he's been putting things in place so that when we're ready, when he's ready, he's going to connect us with our new assignments for this new day. And some of the things, one of the things I saw very clearly is that some people who've been, you know, who are older, the older generation, who felt like, oh my goodness, you know, what's happening here? And pastors and people that have pastored for a number of years, they had a tendency to feel like they were, you know, going to be left out or things weren't going to happen.
Yes.
And that's just the opposite is true. Because what's happening is we are moving into a father-mother position where we're going to be not only, we're going to be giving wisdom and understanding, we're going to be able to impart truth and firsthand experience to the young leaders that are emerging right now. And so the father position, the father-mother position is extremely important. And I hope that people don't get discouraged by watching so many things change in the world that seemingly look out of, you know, control, because that's just not how it's going to stay. And so we're getting ready to see a huge shift in church. The whole face of the church is changing. There's a new identity. The way that it's going to look is going to be completely different than anything we've ever seen. And the other thing, we have to be okay with the fact that God is the one who's doing it.
Yes.
Just because it isn't something we've seen or know or understand doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means God's doing something. And it is his church, and he can do whatever he wants. And
exactly.
We have to be able to be okay with that. Because, you know, it's true in every revival, the old always fights the new. And we can't allow that to be the case anymore. We need to back off and let God do what God wants to do. And if we do, then he's going to lead us and guide us into the greatest days we've ever seen, ever.
That's right.
We won't be discouraged. We won't be left out. We won't feel afraid. And it's going to be just amazing to see the harvest of young people that are going to come and get a hold of God in this hour. And they're going to need, these young people are going to need fathers. They've got to have fathers. They've got to have people who've been there, who've lived the life, and who understand it and get it. And they're going to seek us out. They're going to seek the ones out.
Yes.
So...
Yes, and I tell you, everything that is coming off the tongue of Cindy is completely from the throne room itself. And I'm here to tell you, for those that are finding it difficult to let go of those reins, to loosen the grips on the reins, because this is how they were taught so many years ago. I've been raised in a church. My father is a preacher. My grandfather is a preacher and or a pastor or so forth and so on. I'm here to tell you that She's absolutely right. She said that the Lord, as he spoke through her, he said, our new purpose for a new season. So this is a new thing, ladies and gentlemen, and a new revelation. So if you don't loosen your grip on those reins, we have to remember that our Father is still God. He is God, and nothing is going to stop him or delay him. So loosen them, or he will loosen you from them. This is the season and the time that we're in.
I think our best bet is going to be to position ourselves just under his hand and let him do what he wants to do. That's going to be the best thing we can do. Just position yourself, be available to God in whatever way he wants to do this, and allow the Lord to really accomplish what he wants to do in this season. This is something that we've never seen before.
Yeah,
you know, we've never seen it, but if he's doing a new thing, what does that look like? What does a new thing look like? You know, a new thing doesn't look like an old thing. It looks like something we've never seen, and he's the author of a new thing. And so that's really where we are right now. So.
And Father knows best. Just let him be God.
Yeah.
You know, I tell him every day, you know, because every day I, you know, I focus on humbleness and repentance, whether, you know, every day, taking not a chance. And every day I say, you know what, I'll just let you be God and I'll just be your daughter. You be God and I'll be your daughter.
I love it.
You know, there's something else that you said that is so important to read. And you said, Jesus knew how to paint a picture with words to create a message leading to life. Jesus knew how to paint a picture with words to create. That's a dream. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a dream. That's a dream.
It is.
See how important it is? It's new for many. But again, if you let God be God, he will speak through every possible means to reach your heart. He wants us to have his best. He wants us to be his best, live his best. He wants us to be with him for an eternity. How amazing is it that he would speak to us in a dream?
Right.
When you think about it, how amazing is that? You know, Cindy also wrote about how to reawaken dreams. And she mentioned three steps to do that. Let me see. She gave three steps to awaken dreams. She said, number one, to remember. Number two, to reawaken your heart. And number three was respond. You want to touch on that a little bit? Because I believe you also wrote a book about that too, correct?
Well, it's in the book. Yeah, how to reawaken
your
dreams. Oh, good.
So, you know, good.
People say to us all the time, they say, I don't remember my dreams, or I don't dream, or whatever. Well, that's not true. Everyone dreams, or you're dead. You have, you know, we're designed to dream, and just because you don't remember them doesn't mean they're not there. It means that you're not paying attention to them. And we've noticed that when you focus on something, you make room for it. So when you pay more attention to your dreams and you realize that it's a valid source of communication and that night messages can be messages for day living, then you will begin to experience them. And it isn't, I'm not kidding you, every time we do a class, every time we do an outreach, every time we go somewhere and people say that to me, I don't remember my dreams, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. The next day, they will come in and go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I just had a dream. And it's why? Because you're paying attention to it, because now it's something that has been awakened in your mind. Focus on it. Write it down. Put it down. Even if you don't understand it, at least record it. Put it down and allow, just in doing that, you're, of course, valuing the dream. the fact that it's a valid source of communication, that you want to understand what it could mean. And then, you know, then you can begin to build the timeline. That's why I put the dream journal in the back of my book, is so you can build a timeline on, you know, what these, when you had the dream, what was the message at that time, what was happening in your life during that time. And then there are simple tools on how to begin to interpret your own dreams. And so we kind of made it a user-friendly type of a book, you know, so that it's easy for anyone to read. And the other thing is, it's also good for people that never come to church, that aren't Christian. It's designed for people who are just dreamers. And I wrote it that it could go both ways. It could go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Reaching everyone. Reaching everyone.
Yeah.
Cindy, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So that it's a great gift to give someone for graduation, for birthday, for whatever, because it's going to help people. They've got a little symbol dictionary back there that help people understand what symbols, you know, there could be. I'm not a fan of one thing always meaning something, because to every dreamer, symbols could be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dogs could mean one thing to one person, but mean something totally different to someone else. So I tried to, you know, make it clear that, you know, every dreamer is different, every dream is different, and so that's why you go to a Barnes & Noble or whatever and buy a symbol book, you may get confused, because one thing doesn't always mean the same thing to everyone. It was kind of funny. I don't know if we have time for me to share this quickly, but in the beginning,
yes,
I thought, you know, I'm gonna send the cupbearer's dream in Genesis 40. I'm gonna send that into the psychic network and see what they give me. And it was a free thing, you know, what did last night's dream mean? So in the dream, it says he saw a vine, and in the vine there were three branches, and the branches bear fruit, right? And he took the cupbearer, took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and pressed them back in the hand of Pharaoh. That was the dream. And I changed the word Pharaoh to king in,
mm-hmm,
when I sent it in. I didn't use the word Pharaoh. I used king. And
mm-hmm,
and I got an interpretation back that was so ridiculous. I use it in my workshop. And it, basically, it said, when it says, I saw a vine, they were like, well, was it a jigsaw or a table saw? Was it a, you know, I just laughed. And then the king, they said, was it the king of clubs or the king of spades? Or the king? And I thought, oh, my goodness, what if the cupbearer had internet? You know, what if he,
oh my gosh,
and he sent this dream in, right? This is what he would have gotten. And it would have not been anything of a real interpretation of a prophetic dream.
That's
and
right.
And so that's why I feel like we as a church have a responsibility to use the vehicle of dream interpretation and dreams the way that God intended it from the beginning. And we have a golden opportunity in the day of dreamers to interpret a message from God that comes at nighttime when people are sleeping and they're not fighting with messages of direction. And this is the best day yet for us.
And you know, dear hearts, for those of you that are listening to the line, and to the broadcast this morning that have gone to psychics trying to get an answer for your dream, I'm so happy that Cindy shared that story so that you understand now more than ever that you're not truly getting the right interpretation of that dream. You cannot have
right.
a message from God interpreted by Satan's people. You cannot have it. So I'm so happy that you shared that, Cindy. Someone needed to hear that.
Well, I think it's just a matter of consider the source. You know, where's the dream coming from? In order, I'm not going to necessarily call them Satan's people, just because I feel like some of these people are really genuinely trying to help each other, you know. They're really trying
mm-hmm.
to help people. However, the reception of where we're getting our information is different, you know. And so we're listening to God. for someone. And we're just trying to give them the best idea of understanding of if it is a dream from God, God knows what he gave. He knows the message. He knows why he gave it to that person that time in that way. And so our responsibility is to just give the message of hope, give the message of encouragement, give the message of what we need. And I hope that, you know, any of us can miss it. We can all miss an interpretation. We can get it wrong. I've done it a million times. But I'm going to continue to practice and learn how to interpret the best I can. And when it's the real thing, the dreamer knows. The dreamer knows when it's the right interpretation. It witnesses in their heart, and they know that it is. And then, of course, the prophetic word will always be edification, exhortation, and comfort. It will be designed by God to salt, to breathe life on the dreamer, on the person who's receiving a message, so that they can become more hungry and desiring a word from God. They want more. They want to hear more. And in the times when we've been able to interpret a dream from someone and they've gotten the light and understanding of what it is, they're like, how can I get this? That is the next question. How do I get this? And then you can explain about God and about Jesus and the whole thing. So that's where we're at.
Now, Cindy, you really do have the heart and love of Christ. You certainly do. And it comes across in this broadcast from the very onset to this moment now. You truly do have the heart and love of Christ. And I so appreciate having you on the show this morning. And I'm hoping that you'll take some time right now and tell our audience how to get your books, how to how to contact you so that perhaps they can add you to their schedules for this year. And so will you please share that with them?
Yeah, I have a website. It is cindymcgill.com. And on that, I have a contact form so they can contact me there. If you send a dream in, though, I do have to charge a little bit, not much. It's just 20. But I get bombarded with dreams. I get so many that I don't physically have time to sit down and interpret every dream that I get. So, and it goes toward my ministry. It goes to help us on outreaches and that kind of thing. So if you're going to send a dream in, there is a contact to do that. However, there is a small charge just for that, for my time and for being able to, you know, go toward helping us do what we do. The book, you can order it on Amazon.com. They have it in a book reader and for Kindle. And you can also get a hard copy. And I encourage you to give it to an unsaved friend. Give it to someone who doesn't know God. Give it to somebody who's seeking or looking. It's a real hot topic right now, and it'll go over very well. And it's a book that you can mark, you can use. It's only been out about a year and a half, and I sometimes see people that show up at the conference or workshop I'm doing, and they'll have their book, and it's completely trashed because they've underlined it and written in it, and they've, you know, got the dream journal in the back all used up, and so they get another one just for that. So I'm encouraging people to definitely give it to an unsaved friend. Buy one for yourself, buy one for someone else. And I also have them when I do workshops or conferences and training on this. And I train on two or three different subjects. We train on foundation, on reformation, church reformation. We train on consider your field from the evangelistic perspective. I go into many different arenas. I go into the Burning Man Festival, which is in the Black Rock Desert. We've got a theme camp. We have lines of people that come. This is 11 years for us there. I've been to the Sundance Film Festival 14 years. I have gone into New Age arenas and We've seen amazing things, and people actually leave other forms of, you know, spiritual seeking places, and they've connected with God in those arenas. I've also gone into the adult industry. This is my fifth year going in and getting a hold of the young girls that are caught in that trap of porn addiction, and getting a hold of them and giving them a purpose and a future for their lives so they don't give themselves over to this. And Dreams, of course, have gotten us in, and we just, you know, our deal is we just want to find people that want to know the truth. And when people want to know the truth, then the truth sets people free, and that's what people need. They need freedom, and our job is to create an open door or open a cage or set the captive free. And we'll do that using dreams, prophetic word, or whatever we need to do. And so that's what we're doing. And it's exciting.
What is the name of the book? What is the name of the book, Cindy?
It's called What Your Dreams Are Telling You, Unlocking Solutions While You Sleep.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have the name of the book. Now, remember, you can go to CindyMcGill.com and find all that information. The book is available on Amazon. And find out the information that you're going to need on how to develop a team yourself under her training, and whether or not you want her to come to a workshop. So not all that information is there available so that you can expound on your ministries and even one-to-one. Now, remember that, you know, Cindy has also interviewed on many TV shows such as TBN, God TV, XP Media with Patricia King, Elijah List. She comes with a wealth of integrity, credibility to back her up, but you've already heard that she comes filled with the glory of the Lord. So it is my hope that as you listen to this broadcast over and over again, you won't just listen to it, but you will also contact her and expound on your own ministries and continue to grow in the area of dreams, because that is the hour that we are in. I want to thank you personally, Cindy, for taking the time once again to come on the broadcast and to share literally what's in the belly. The Holy Spirit has led the entire conversation on this broadcast, and I know that you have touched many and you have opened up the eyes of awareness to so many that are listening to this broadcast. And I really appreciate you. I know you just got back from Hawaii, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you just got back from Hawaii. I think you're setting something up there, are you not?
Yeah, we're training. We're going to do some training over there and over in Australia, New Zealand. And, you know, we've got several different places that we're targeting right now for ongoing training. And, yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be a full year, I can say.
Indeed it is. So there you go. Remember, she's even, her and her husband are called internationally. So make sure that you contact her and you get your church involved, your city involved, your community involved. So again, thank you so much, Cindy, for coming and joining us on Inspiration and Empowerment and Breakthrough. You know, I look forward to keeping in touch with you. You're not getting away from me. You're my friend for life.
You're
my friend for life.
It's a real joy.
Well, I believe there'll be a time it will have to come on again. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to keep her any longer, although I hate to let her go. Thank you for tuning in to Inspiration, Empowerment, and Breakthrough. Don't forget to check the website out at drbeverlylswanson.com. There's so much there that can assist you in wisdom and growing, you know, with the Lord. So, until next week, we will see you soon, and continue to dream. And don't forget what Cindy said. Write those dreams down. Now get that book, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye now.